When you open the bottle and you drink the wine, it speaks for itself. Is it, you know, a wine that's made for food? Yes. Those types of wines are tend to be more rustic or have a little bit more body. Are there wines that are just pure out hedonistic pleasure? Sure, there's wines like that that maybe from California that are more cocktail wines, or wines that are just big jammy fruit bombs. And those, I think, appeal to a certain group of people as well. I think the wines that Barterhouse specializes in is more of these food-friendly, you know, rustic style, biodynamic, organic wines that tend to be a bit more earthy, come from someplace. So you can almost taste the terroir. You can almost feel this guy, this Sancerre, was grown in this slaty, rocky soil. And so to me, that's the exciting part, that the wine feels like it comes from someplace.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
All right. Welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, DJ Never Forget, staring at Terry Diabolik.
Hey, what's up? I'm the other half. I am Terry Diabolik. And congratulations, 75th episode.
Oh, yeah, that's our 75th episode today, which is, I think, surprising.
I think it's 70.
Hey, we seriously lost the FX box. Well, that was actually even more surprising. I didn't even know we had it back.
And I think it's 74 more than I thought we ever were going to do.
Yeah, maybe a little bit more.
563. But welcome. It's a beautiful day.
I mean, 75 episodes still talking over me.
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. It's a great day. Summer is here, or, you know, coming and going in Brooklyn. Yesterday, we were fortunate enough to check out Tiki Disco at Roberta's, which is by far one of the best parties I've been to a long time. Have you guys gone? Yeah. It's just good vibes. It's from 2 to 10, which, you know, just a little daytime drinking, and really, 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 really awesome. And it's every other Sunday, so I recommend checking it out.
It's a lot of fun. And also, other big announcement, our giant August 6th barbecue. Tickets are on sale right now through Guilt City. GuiltCity.com/New York/CityWinery Barbecue.com.
Who are some of the chefs?
We have Sam Mason from Empire Mayonnaise, Philip Kirch and Clark Van Dag, who was on our show.
Mm-hmm.
His episode is podcasted. Christina Tosi from Momofuku Milk Bar. They have that new store opened up on Metropolitan. Sam Talba, Noah Burnoff from Mile End, Thomas Kelly, and Dave Schillis from XQ, who are also on the show. Jenny McCoy, Tim Sullivan, Daniel Hosman, and Oliver Kramer and Tyler Lohman from Dos Toros.
Have we had the Mile End people on the show?
If we haven't, that's our fault.
Yeah, it's our fault.
We'll get them in here for smoke samples.
And then for band-wise, we have Midnight Magic, who've been on here. They're on the Snacky Tunes comp. Computer Magic, who've been on here. Ducky, Punches. We're going to be DJing Kurt from Autobot from Flostradamus.
And Ducky's going to be on here next week playing live.
Right, which we need to talk about.
But first, let's get to today's show. And we are very excited to be joined with us today is Richard Martin, editorial director of Food Republic. Food Republic is the idea that guys everywhere are putting food on the table. And we thought that no better time than the Monday before Father's Day to have Richard in studio. Richard, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So, Richard, why don't you talk to us about your history and about how you wound up working with food and with a focus on men?
Well, you know, on a personal level, you know, I think I'm very well suited for this show. And congratulations on the 75th episode, by the way.
Thank you.
My career kind of started in music, but it was an interesting time because I moved out from New York, which is where I'm from, out to Portland, Oregon in the early 90s. And I was, you know, a total music fanatic. I mean, it was a great time to be out there. But at the same time, there was this whole microbrew thing happening out there. There were a lot of wineries that were just opening up. A lot of the chefs out there were starting to do some foraging and, you know, finding crazy mushrooms and putting them on pizzas. And, you know, it was all kind of stuff that you're seeing now very prevalently throughout a lot of the urban areas. But I felt like pretty privileged to have been writing and reporting about some of that stuff early on. And I've followed through over the years. And just by chance, I was introduced to Marcus Samuelson, the chef behind Red Rooster Harlem and various other ventures. And he had been looking to find a guy with some lifestyle journalism background to start a website and a brand that would be called Food Republic, aimed at the sort of, you know, making guys feel like it's cool to cook and making it feel like, making it be like part of the kind of what makes the modern gentleman. You know, what makes a guy a guy today?
The modern gentleman.
The modern gentleman.
What does make the modern gentleman?
Well, you know, I think there's, you know, over the past few years, a lot of guys have gotten more into dressing better, you know, maybe like into some grooming products and stuff. You know, in my opinion, the next thing is to like really learn your way around the kitchen. You know, dazzle that girl that you're trying to woo by like cooking up a sick meal and like, you know, serving a really cool wine or beer with it and being able to talk about those things.
Do you think today that there's no longer the excuse for a man not to know how to cook and how to pick a restaurant and how to entertain both his male and female guests?
Well, I think it's getting to be a lot easier to find the information about these things. I mean, you know, I think that there are a lot of guys that are still really intimidated by having to know all this stuff. You know, it's not necessarily easy. And if you don't know how to cook and nobody's ever taught you, there's not a lot of outlets to find that information, which is why we created Food Republic.
Yeah. So let's talk about the site for a little bit. Talk me through what the different sections are and you know, what people can expect to find on your website.
Well, right now it's kind of, you know, mostly in a blog form, in that the latest story that we put up is at the top. So, you know, it tends to be a mix of things, whether it's a news story or a recipe or like a trend story. You know, this morning I published a piece about the sale of Stumptown. Stumptown Coffee is supposedly kind of sold out most of its shares to a big private equity firm. You know, so we have news like that. And then around noon every day for the last few weeks and next few weeks, we're doing a barbecue story. So we have, today it's how to do a basic marinade. I just happened to make a marinade over the weekend, put it on some, put some skirt steak in a bag with some marinade and served it up to some friends at a dinner party. And it was phenomenal, you know, and it's like a really easy thing to do that any guy could really, you know, get out a freezer bag, put a bunch of stuff in it, throw some meat in there and then throw it on the grill and, you know, you're going to have a great meal. So,
and it's just a little bit extra step, but with not too much more work, but very impressive.
Oh yeah. I mean, salt and pepper is fine, but do a little marinade. And
so, you know, going back to sort of what we talked with John last week about men who are cooking, have you seen the trend of men in the kitchen and men being more responsible for food on the up and up in the last years? And is that reflected on your blog?
Yeah, I think on the what from last year?
Just on the up and up.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, one of the things when I was starting to talk to Marcus about doing the site, I was actually riding out to on the L train to Williamsburg. And I saw this guy with his kid and he had like a couple of bags from Whole Foods. And I was like, I'll bet that guy's going home to like cook for his kid tonight, you know? And like, I'm seeing a lot of that. I talk to a lot of people and, you know, a lot of guy friends who have gotten more into it. And especially since I started at Food Republic, like guys are coming to me and talking about their experiences. And, you know, it's pretty phenomenal to hear not only about them cooking, but getting into hobbies like making their own beer or raising bees in their backyard or on the rooftop and getting their own honey. You know, even you know, roasting their own coffee beans. So I think that there's this movement of guys that are like really into like all this kind of stuff now.
Awesome. All right, well, we're going to take a quick musical interlude, and then we're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about the recipes and the I'm happy to see Philly cheesesteak on there, and I'm happy to see that you picked Tony Luke's, because if not, we may have had to ask you to leave the studio.
Just to say, we have Matt from Revenge Records here, Revenge International. So, and yes, I sandbagged you because you're taking a bite.
It happens.
It happens. What was the opening track that we played?
Wow, that was good pizza. But it was... a track from a collaboration by an artist named Alexis Georgopoulos, and who also performs under the name ARP, and as one of his sonic influences, his name is Anthony Moore, who was in a band called Slap Happy and Henry Cow.
And now we have a track from Pink Skull.
Yeah, this is the first single from the new Pink Skull album, Psychic Welfare.
I went with the original. I didn't go with the remix.
That's cool. Thank you.
Pink Skull on Revenge International, which
Philadelphia-based, right?
Philadelphia-based, which we'll be talking with Matt a little bit later in the show about the label, about upcoming releases, about the PS1 warm-up, and we can even mention about toying with the frames.
Hey, sure.
Hey, why not?
I love the frames. But we are still in studio with Richard Martin, editorial director of Food Republic, and we are talking about Food Republic, the website, which is about men and food and getting food on the table and all things around it. So I see that you have a bunch of different sections. One of the ones I'm very excited about is the cheesesteak section, and you do cheesesteaks and burritos and types of guy food. Can you talk to me about someone like the approach to food that you cover? Is it a very specific type of food? Is it definitely guy centered?
Well, no. I mean, I think you know the idea is that you want women to be able to come too, obviously, because you know they're very into cooking as well. It's just that women have a lot more options right now to find out to go to websites and magazines that really are aimed directly at them and their lifestyle. But there's really not anything like this for guys. I mean, you know, a large part of it too is like music, art, style. It's all part of this lifestyle. So like we'll talk to musicians about what they eat. And we actually have this section called Good Food Rocks where we talk to like guys who are in bands that, you know, typically musicians, you know, start out at some point working in a restaurant, you know.
What's some of the music that you like to listen to when you're doing recipe testing in the kitchen?
We were working out of this test kitchen in the Gowanus right now. Not actually in the Gowanus because that would be very dangerous and potentially lethal, but nearby the Gowanus Canal. And we were listening to the new Junior Boys record.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really nice.
That's really nice.
I just read a quote about them saying that this is everything they've been working towards is in this record.
It's really good.
Which I don't know if that's like a redundant thing. Matt thought
that they've been working toward that?
Yeah, it's like our whole life has led to this record. It's like, well, okay, that can be said about almost anything.
Well, I usually said that about first records, but...
Right. No, I mean, I can imagine that there are bands who put out, like, a sophomore effort. They're just like, oh, this is not what we've been working for.
Which, this is their third record? Or
I think this is their fourth.
Yeah, I mean, by the fourth, you should have probably worked it out.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, be at that place where you can kind of freely, infinitely make good music.
Yeah, true.
It's funny, though. I think music and cooking are, like, it's such an underrated thing. Like, it goes together so well. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I was doing an event. I had started a magazine down in Miami, and Michael Mina, who's a really great chef and has a bunch of restaurants, mostly out west, the music playlist was sick. Like, they had all this, like, new Tom York stuff on there that when it just came out. And I went up to him. I was like, how did you guys pick the music? And he's like, oh, I have a guy on staff who's, like, our music programmer for all our restaurants. And I was like, now that's a cool job, you know? Yeah. Like,
that's really awesome. I mean, there's a lot of places that do, like, sell services in that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never heard of, like, an internal music person.
Well, I think every restaurant, you know, if you have a restaurant chain, you're probably going to need to have something like that soon, because the customer is getting more picky, and to create that atmosphere, just in the way that, like, you know, a place like Roberta's has this awesome, like, aesthetic of, like, kind of like rustic, you know, you go inside. I just heard when I was waiting for you guys to come here, I heard a song by Duster, who were, like, one of my favorite bands of, like, the 90s from Modesto, California, you know, like,
right.
It's pretty great when that kind of stuff happens and you're there. It makes you want to go back to that restaurant.
Yeah, well, customers are becoming picky, but they're just more knowledgeable now, mm-hmm. about because of how information is disseminated. They just know good music.
Yeah.
And also, I think it's interesting about Roberta's as well, because the guys who run this are, like, as we always say, Brandon, who's one of the main dudes here, like, we met him when we were DJing, and he was a bar manager. So they all came up like us. They're huge music people as well, and it's, like, so influential that, as opposed to in the city where maybe it's more ambient, it holds such, like, a prevalent... They throw, like, Tiki Disco was here yesterday. I was like, this has got to be the coolest pizza place ever, because besides the roof sustainability and the good food and everything, they're throwing, like, massive parties with really well-curated music in the back as well.
And then you can eat well. I mean, I don't know if you guys went to ATP a few years ago when it launched, but I was, like, blown away. The food was terrible. And, like, it was, like, you have all these great bands and all these people that are into this kind of stuff. I mean, look, there's a lot of, joking around about food is the new rock or whatever. But, you know, the reality is, like, guys like us and any guy that's, like, really into music and had that CD collection or before that vinyl collection, you know, they're looking for, like, to obsess over something almost all the time. Like, right now, I think it's really, like, food is a big part of that. And it's not just guys like us, but it's, you know, a whole... it's a whole scene that's going on. So like when you say like the Philly cheesesteak, like, and what kind of food are we finding? Like we started a thing a few weeks ago, like what to eat for lunch, basically, because I was like, that's like always the hardest thing.
Yeah.
To like, what should I have for lunch today? So every day we're doing like, you know, we did the Philly cheesesteak. It's like, it's Monday. You got to get your week off to the right start. So you go and get a really good cheesesteak.
Yeah. I don't know. That would probably like put me under from like all the damage I did on the weekend. I'd be like, so one of the interesting things about your site is that you have a couple of great juxtapositions of where you'll have the greatest drinking scenes in movies versus a whole section of politics. Mm-hmm. And it seems like you're really covering a full world of food. And can you talk to me about that approach and about, you know, what makes a story and what makes it onto your website? Like, how do you select what angles to go with?
Well, I think another thing that, you know, anybody that's into food is... You know, it doesn't mean that they're not into pop culture or they're not into, like, what are the issues behind food. And, I mean, that's been, you know, one of the biggest surprises for me was that when Marcus told me he wanted to have politics be a big part of this, you know, he actually referenced Rolling Stone. I thought it was a good point. Like, Rolling Stone has had politics in the mix of what they've been doing as a magazine pretty much since the beginning. You know, now this is about food, so this is all just food politics, but, you know, every day there's some kind of new story on the front page of the newspaper about genetic corn or, you know, the government unveiling a new thing like they did with My Plate, which replaced the food pyramid, which we have a lot of information about on the site.
Which is huge. I mean, that's a massive thing, and there's no way that you can talk about, you know, even cheesesteaks or Tony Luke's without referencing food politics because it's all so tied together.
Well, food pricing is a big issue. I mean, we're mm-hmm. actually have some people investigating it right now, but I mean, it's incredible what's going on, you know, the rising cost of food. We're actually going to be doing a panel next week that's going to be called, like, how far off is the $50 pizza? Because the ingredients of all these things that we're eating are
just going up.
Yeah, and I mean, the restaurants, they have to pay their rent, you know, and the supermarkets have to pay their rent, and you know, food inflation is going to be a big issue in the next few years, and it's something that we're all going to be worried about.
Awesome. Not awesome. I mean, that is that you just had, you had half a thought and you said awesome.
Hold on, to go back to your point, for men,
like, for being interesting, you provide recipes, easy marinades, and then a little bit of like dinner conversation, like, oh, he is well read. Look at this guy.
And like, that awesome comment more applies to the overall thing of the website and not the fact that food costs are on the rise.
I don't know.
I enjoy.
We're going to go back to the podcast.
I'll enjoy my $9 piece of pizza. Pizza Roberta's, not $50.
Yeah,
I can't imagine paying more than $8 for a cheesesteak. No,
I mean, it depends on the cheesesteak. What about the $34 burger?
Well, I think that, you know, the other thing is that you're seeing the whole thing with food trucks, and like a lot of people are really gravitating towards them. I think because A, the food's getting better, but B, it's also kind of affordable. Like these guys. You don't have to pay rent. You know?
It is, but that price is creepy. Like, we went to Smorgasburg this Saturday.
Yeah.
It wasn't cheap. Like, it was not like, I didn't feel that I was getting a deal on anything. And I know it's because it's quality products and the name and things like that, but it was not, it was nothing that I was like, oh, okay.
I would think for food carts, it would be more the business owners because it's less brick and mortar. But there's also like a pushback on even just Endless Summer Burrito Truck. They essentially got banned from their original spot, which is weird because there's places there now because the brick and mortar people are like, are you kidding?
Oh, there's things going on in every city right now. I mean,
well, they banned them from that spot. They pushed them down. It wasn't like, oh, let's just move down the street. They like, you can't be here. Yeah.
No, that's been going on, and there's actually stuff going on in Miami. Chicago actually has a law that a truck can't have an oven or any kind of. So like, if there's a food truck in Chicago, the food was not made on that truck. Which is weird, but there's all these different issues around, and it's another reason that we cover politics on here, in addition to like having like those galleries of like the classic movie scenes, because, you know, that's the kind of stuff that like you have to give people a little bit of entertainment when you have a new website. Like,
yeah.
There are some pretty amazing things, and like I've got this guy who's like really connected in Hollywood, and he's a total film like freak, and he knows every scene of every like, I'll throw out like, you know, can we get something with anchovies in it, and he'll be like, oh yeah, there's that scene, and I'm just like, how do you know that?
That's amazing. Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for being on here. The website is?
foodrepublic.com.
And what's the Twitter?
It's at foodrepub.
Because it's 9 letters, right?
Something like that.
And one more time, the information on the panel?
Oh, that's going to be, well, that'll be up on the website probably by late next week, but it's, the panel's going to be hosted by Dylan Radigan from MSNBC, who on his show every day at 4 o'clock on MSNBC, he talks about food politics a lot, so he's graciously agreed to, like, MC this panel, and it's actually a panel with this great artist, Sanford Fingers. Sanford's got a show coming up in September at the Brooklyn Museum, and then the guy that owns Odin Boutiques. So we're just trying to, like, incorporate different guys. Actually, Eric, who does the smorgasbord, I'll talk to him about his lobster roll prices. But
what is the lobster roll crisis?
No,
prices. Oh, prices. Also, crisis.
There should be a lobster roll crisis, though.
I'm just saying, like the meat, like the average for like a bite there is like $8 to $9, and it's just like, okay. It's not cheap. I mean, it's quality, but it's not cheap.
But if you think about it, something that's $9 here might actually put you in the $12 to $13 range, and $8 there is $8.
I know. I'm just making small talk.
It's interesting stuff
every day. Just making small talk. All right, Rachel, you're gonna stick around, right?
Yeah, totally.
All right, have some more pizza.
We have a few tracks from Matt. We're gonna play. What do we got coming up?
I'm gonna play a track from our first cassette release.
Oh, okay.
By a band called Regal Deagle.
Oh, what year did your cassette release come out?
Last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that too. You are listening to Snacky Tunes. We are your host, Finger on the Pulse, and here we go.
Over all too soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have Matt from Revenge International in studio today, in our ongoing series of talking to labels that we like, and you're a label that we like.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Matt, welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you again.
Why, I wish there was like one more thing that we could do, but
I'm enjoying your haircut.
What's that?
I enjoy your haircut.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, there it is.
I've had a haircut, actually, for years.
I like your all-natural style.
Best things come in threes. So why don't you tell our listeners about the label? Because I knew it originally as an events company with Mr. Pianca.
Mr. Dave P.
Mr. Dave P.
Yes.
Of Making Time and Sunrise fame. Because you just see a lot of sunrises with him.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I knew it. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, it looks like they're doing records. And then, oh, shit, they're fucking crushing it with record label stuff. And so why don't you tell our people the cracks that I'm leaving out of that story?
Yeah, I mean, it was roughly mutated from a company that Dave and I started to do event production, I guess, for bigger brands or whatever. I wasn't too thrilled with that area of farming culture, so I decided to, with a little bit of cash that we made, to put out a mix CD by Tim Sweeney, and that was kind of like our first official release, actually after a couple Pink Skull mix CDs, so it was kind of like a familial start to the label as Mostar, and also like a very, like, I mean, we were just giving away the CDs, but because we kind of focused some attention on the packaging, they looked great, and from the gate, like, there was an aesthetic established. And musically, you know, it definitely had its roots in, like, the party zone that, you know, we were...
The Philadelphia, New York party zone?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That, I'm aware of that party zone.
Yeah, you guys are from...
From Philadelphia. Yeah.
Grown up in the New York.
And I'm DJing there at the Barbary tonight.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Super amazing.
So it grew from there. So start with the mixtape. And then what was the first original music that you put out?
Well, I mean, from the mixtape, it went into edit, like, disco edits. Mm-hmm. So, like, at that whole, like, turn of, you know, Paluski, Todd Turgay. Mm-hmm.
Love those guys. Did you put up Paluski stuff?
We did do...
Which one?
An edit. It was an edit of an old reggae track that was turned into AAA. It was a one-sided 12-inch.
Wow.
That actually ended a series of disco edits, a 10-part series, with Todd did something, Greg Wilson, Infilgranti, JD Twitch, you know, like the whole spectrum.
The whole scheme.
The whole crew of disco editors.
Basically, like, everyone that was playing our parties, we got to do, like, a 12-inch.
But that's great to do that sort of... Would they play the party when you were putting out their 12-inch?
There wasn't a whole lot of that cross-pollination, but, we all became friends, and now they're remixers of the original material that we put out, so...
Awesome. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So then there was Disco Ads, and then...
And when then Pink Skull was our first official release, only 2 years ago, a record called Endless Bummer. for the artwork, we went to a letterpress and letterpressed 1,000 different bummers. So everything from Stepped in a Puddle to Pol Pot to... you know, mosquito infestation, like the whole gamut, like 1,000 different covers.
Monsanto.
Yes.
Did you say Pol Pot?
Yes.
Like the Cambodian dictator?
Yeah, like a total bummer.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
So it's 1,000 original covers.
1,000 original covers.
And that sold out?
Not quite. I didn't, you know. If you want to buy some.
Okay.
There's still copies. Actually, that's the whole reason why we're on the show.
We did like a special run, like where you could send in your own bummer, or like whatever you wanted. Like, it could be a birthday greeting or whatever. But so we sold, you know.
Darren, I know what you're gonna do for your 30th.
Bummer.
Bummer.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then it's kind of grown from there, and we have, I mean, we're by the end of the year we'll have done about 20 original releases, which include a series of collaborations called Freakways, which kind of pits a contemporary artist with their you know, like sonic forebear, so to speak. So we're, by the end of the year, we'll have 9 volumes of that completed.
That's great. And what I like is, you know, the first time I think that we really met, or I mean, is when we were at the White Columns Gallery.
Right.
For one of your events. So you're still doing events.
Lots. Yeah, yeah. Just like on a...
different. It's different than like a disco ball warehouse rave.
Disco ball, sparks chugging.
Yeah.
Right. We all got to grow up, right?
Yeah, we did.
Why don't you explain what the event that White Columns was?
That was pretty special. That was for our 6th volume, and Matthew Higgs, the curator, gallery operator there, offered us their project space room, which is a smaller kind of side room, and we used it to launch a new Freakways collaboration between Juliana Barwick, and who's doing this amazing ethereal vocal loop based music. She's here in Brooklyn, and Ikue Mori, who is a kind of legendary avant drum machine software manipulator. And so they collaborated on 4 pieces that night, which we went straight to lathe. So we brought in a portable consumer grade lathe from the 40s, and each piece was directly cut into a different lathe. And the two of them were collaborating behind a closed wall. So we built a cube, which they sat at their respective workstations and collaborated without any sort of physical interaction. Hmm. So it was, I don't know. I mean, you know, it was, the concept was kind of, you know, a practice in simulated, I don't know, some, you know, engagement, I guess. and that actually comes out tomorrow. Is the release of the not the lathe cuts, but the
collaboration,
yeah,
the Freak Wave collaboration,
right?
That's awesome. That's great.
All right, let's get a song up.
Let's get a few songs up.
Let's get a couple songs.
Do you have a song from that collaboration you can play?
I do, but they're like all really freaky, far out, like 9-minute like pieces, which we could do.
No, why don't we play? Why don't we give a wider range of music? So. We're going to hear about a, you know, 15 minute or so set from Matt, and then we'll come back. We're going to talk about PS warm up and whatever else you want to talk about.
Well, I'll play a track from one of the bands that's playing warm up.
Great.
And one of the 2 bands represented from Revenge at this year's event. So
perfect.
This is a band called Bronze.
Great.
Yes.
Awesome. Nike Tunes.
how we're doing it.
You guys suck. All right.
We're getting pretty heavy off. Yeah. On this, so there's some serious. We should have had that with the mics going for that.
So that Matt Revenge Records. What do we had? What do we listen to?
That was a track from the Harold Grosskopf reissue of Synthesis that we did earlier this year. That's a 1980 album by a German. I mean, in some circles, legendary musician. He was a percussion.
In other circles, unknown.
The unknown. Most circles.
Isn't that the way it always goes, right?
I think so. Those circles.
Like
patterns.
A small group of people who've never heard of the Beatles.
Exactly. Who?
Is that possible? I think so. Right?
Yeah, I think like 15-year-olds don't.
That's not fair. I'm talking about like. No, I think that there are people. I think nowadays, because remember, like, they haven't had one of their like. Let's cart them out and make money. I take it back. They did Guitar Hero with the Beatles. Never mind. Everyone knows who the Beatles
are.
And
they just offered their entire catalog on iTunes for the first time.
I'm sorry, what tunes? Okay. Anyway. Snacky tunes.
Right.
I guess during the break we were talking. I mean, we don't want to get into that, do we?
No, we don't want to get into that.
Look, food policy. We were just riffing on food policy and politics and the growth of a small company. I mean, you can talk about this as well. What we were talking about during the musical interlude was what happens when someone, like a small, like Stumptown, whose grassroots gets built from the ground, gets bought by a corporation, and you can apply the same thing to a tiny record label that becomes essentially a brand. And at some point, you're paying to slap that brand name on it, whether it's a rec label, clothing label, company, something like that. And then at what point do you reach a saturation part? At what point does it get diluted? And at what point does you just start running through as much as you can, make off that brand name before it just becomes completely worthless?
Well, I mean, I think ideally you avoid all of that and keep it kind of at a boutique sustainable level. I mean, if your aspiration is to... one aspiration is to like take care of yourself and maybe your family. And I think that's in terms of how this label is run. That's kind of the level that I'm looking for. Like, I'm not looking to take it to some sort of, and nor do I think it's even possible taking it to like a multi-million dollar level.
Come on. You can dream big.
Yeah. You know, the, avant explorations of revenge working at a...
Just get Lady Gaga to do a verse.
It's true.
On, the next Pink Skull record.
She'll be the next Freakways collaborator.
Yeah.
Yes.
This 9-minute lo-fi Lady Gaga track. So let's talk about your summer events and what you have coming up, because summertime is here. We're rolling it out in New York City, which I think is the best time to really be in the city for free events.
I'm excited to be here and was excited to be a part of the PS1 warm-up committee. This year, it was my first year. They invited me to, Eliza invited me to join a bunch of other amazing, smart, committee members, from record labels all over New York. And, I guess one from UK. And, we've been working the past several months to put together the programming for MoMA's PS1 warm-up events, which are looking pretty solid.
Really solid. When is the first one?
The first one is July 2nd, and it starts off with Beautiful Swimmers and Protect You, who are from D.C., Zuvox, who are from Brooklyn, and the headlining DJ is DJ Pierre. So it's going to be a... And also Delicate Steve is on it. So it's going to be very high vibes.
Delicate Steve.
I think he works in there. Like,
that's one. Is that a DJ name?
No, it's actually a group. They're on Luca Bop.
Luca Bop. Oh, David Byrne's record label. Delicate Steve is a great name.
That's a great name. Yeah.
I know. You just picture like this, like really timid, like, okay.
Okay. Guys, I need a little bit more of my monitor.
Never mind.
Yeah, it seems like he's all you need of a glass of water, something like that. Like, could I? Well, that's great. And where's all the information for the warm up events?
I believe it's just off the MoMA PS1 website.
I went last year. Don't play this one cool. Like, just go early. Don't try and because the lines get long really fast.
It's gonna be heavy. I think just like
go hang out
day after day. It's like
go hang out because I mean you can go see the exhibit, right?
Yeah,
entry to the concert allows you entry to the museum.
Right, and the exhibit, at least for I think most of PS1, is Ryan Treecarton,
which goes up in like a week or something like that. So that's great. And a shout out to Eliza, who I know is buried in 9,000 projects.
I don't know how she does it.
I don't. No sleep.
No sleep.
That's actually the correct answer.
No sleep till.
No.
Queens?
Yeah.
Queens.
And lots of running. I see her on the Williamsburg Bridge a lot. In
really?
The morning. Yeah. Or like two runners passing in the morning.
Are you a runner?
Yes.
He's got those long running legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. He comes.
Do you let the ponytail go down? Just let the whole hair fly while you run? Just
let it float.
Just like, oh my God. Listening to 9-minute experimental music.
Do you eat before or after you go for a run?
I eat after.
And what do you eat usually?
Like, a bowl of cereal with fruit. Mm. That's my breakfast.
So not a whole pizza.
Not an entire pizza, which I just did.
Which is good. Well, Matt, we want to thank you for joining us today. Can you give us all the...
nuts and bolts.
Nuts and bolts, Twitter, email.
Twitter is... The label is called Revenge, but it's spelled RVNG without all the E's. So the Twitter is RVNGINTL, Revenge International.
God, don't you just hate vowels?
I just... can't stand them. And then Facebook is RVNGINTL again. The website is igetrvng.com.
Great. And so thank you for being on Snacky Tunes. And we're going to take out with a Blonde song.
With a Blonde track, who are like kind of our, I don't know.
Superstars?
Superstars.
They're amazing.
They're amazing.
And they're playing this Friday at Let's Play House.
Yeah, they are.
Is it live or is it a DJ set?
Live. Always live.
Always live.
But we're putting out a total of 4 records for them this year. 3 12-inches, a series of 2-song 12-inches exploring dualities, and then a compilation album.
We spoke about, when they were on the show a few months ago, we talked about it. And right. So now it's out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there we go. And also, to anyone who is in our world, this Wednesday at Good Company, 10 Hope Street in Brooklyn, we are having our next barbecue blowout with Budokan.
And
Picture House.
Picture House and
Pocket Knife. $10 gets you a plate of awesome food and a free Rika cocktail and a copy of New York Magazine.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome. Get there early. It's supposed to be, it's fingers crossed, knock on wood, it's supposed to not rain.
Yeah.
I'll see when I believe it.
Every the last 20 events that we've done, it's rained. Like, Richard, over a course of years.
And Richard, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Please check out the website. And congratulations, never forget.
75.
To another 75 more.
Yeah. All right, so what's the name of the Blonde song?
This one's Business from the Business Pleasure 12-inch.
That is duality.
That's right.
But what if you're in the business of pleasure?
All right, here we go with Blondes.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. The new Whole Foods Market in Fairfield, Connecticut, is going to be generating their own clean power on site with a PureCell, that's a registered trademark, System Model 400 from UTC Power. I'm going to quote now from Tristan Coffin, the Green Mission Specialist for Whole Foods Market, Northeast Region. In connection to our company's green mission, we are very proud to be reducing our carbon footprint while producing clean energy in our new Fairfield, Connecticut location. UTC Power has been a great local partner in implementing our fuel cell to help us reduce our environmental impact in the Fairfield community. By generating most of its power on site with the fuel cell, the Whole Foods Market in Fairfield will prevent the release of more than 847 metric tons of carbon dioxide annually, the equivalent of planting more than 85 acres of trees. The reductions in nitrogen oxide emissions compared to a conventional power plant are equal to the environmental benefit of removing more than 100 cars from the road. In addition to the reductions in greenhouse gas emissions, the PureCell system will allow Whole Foods Market to save nearly 3.5 million gallons of water annually. Unlike central generation and other fuel cell technologies, the PureCell system is designed to operate in water balance, so there is no consumption or discharge of water during its operation. That's an awesome story. Kudos to Whole Foods. Don't you love that? This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Did you know we have a beer show? Check out a small clip from Beer Sessions Radio.
All right, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Jimmy Carboni from Jimmy's Number 43, and I'm here with Ray Dieter from the DBA Boys.
Hey, Jim.
Ray, this is a fun show. We're drinking Belgian beer. We're drinking Ichtigum, hanging out with the guys from 124 Rabbit Club. And we got Don and Wendy from Van Berg and the Wolf. Well, let's go back a little bit to kind of build your pedigree. So the two of your top brands that we love and that you have now, Scaldis and Saison DuPont.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us how you met those guys, how you started working with them.
Well, Saison DuPont was really... that was.
If you want to hear more, head over to heritageradionetwork.com where new episodes of Beer Sessions are posted every week in our archive. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. The following is a public service announcement from Just Food. Help bring live chickens into food challenge communities through your donations to the Just Food City Chicken Project 2011. The City Chicken Project would not be possible without the volunteer hours, donations large and small, and the vibrant energy and ideas of the communities we work with. Just Food is a nonprofit organization that connects New York City communities and local and urban farmers with the resources and support they need to make fresh, locally grown food accessible to all. To donate, search on Kickstarter.com for Just Food and find their City Chicken Project. For more information on Just Food, visit justfood.org or call 212-645-9880. That's 212-645-9880. Let's keep making New York City a better place to live and eat. The following is a message from HeritageFoodsUSA.com. The difference between wild Alaskan salmon and farmed Atlantic salmon is just as great as the differences between commodity pork and heritage breed pork. Huge! HeritageFoodsUSA.com is lining up a major social buy of sustainably harvested salmon in July and offering it at a phenomenal price to consumers. Check out HeritageFoodsUSA.com for more details on how to get in on this opportunity. Experience salmon the way it should be.